The founders forgot that we had medical liberty.
We seem to be losing by taking the side of the middle. And we seem to constantly be losing.
I think Trump has made some kind of arrangements with Russia.
This person has made the allegations that they were a man.
If there's content that's borderline, that's content that we basically will not.
There is no second best. There's no second best crypto asset.
Let's talk about science.
I respect you and I have a great deal of appreciation to you, JF, because in a time when everybody was attacking me, when Sargon doxed me and smeared me, you were the only one who gave me a platform, and you were very kind in helping me put the truth out there.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Jeff G Tonight. History has been made. Fantastic, fantastic interview of Nick Fuentes, finally by Tucker Carlson. I think that the sending of arrows had been annoying, and I hated these personalities that present themselves as not participating to cancel culture, but they play the side of cancel culture up to the end, and they get any opportunity they get to side with cancel culture. That's one thing that's annoying with Matt Walsh, for example. Matt Walsh says unity on the right, but then he retweets me, and then some people tell him, oh, this is JF, you shouldn't retweet him. And now he undoes his retweet. Tucker Carlson had done the same thing with Nick Fuentes, unfortunately, and he had said that Nick Fuentes was a gay fed. This is also part of cancel culture, by the way. And there seems to be a misunderstanding about some people think that they're not participating to cancel culture, and yet they are. And I've said it the day Charlie Kirk died. As long as there's not a reconciliation and a fixing of this attitude of the rejection of human beings, the dismissal of human beings without facts, the false allegations, the way Tucker did it against Nick Fuentes, then we will not have fixed society. And we're far from having fixed it. But history has been made because we now have an interview. We now have an interview where there is some degree of respect for Fuentes. And people had told me, Jeff, do you think it's going to be a hit piece? Do you think Tucker Carlson will try to destroy Fuentes? And I said, I don't think so. What I saw happening and what I predicted was that Tucker Carlson will withdraw naturally. He won't be able to have an angle of attack against Nick. And it's very subtle what happened in the interview, but my prediction was largely correct. Tucker Carlson doesn't even make a case. Doesn't even make a case that Nick Fuentes is a fed. Sorry, I thought you were a fed. He's already apologizing without even getting... Well, if you're going to apologize without even having an argument about it, why were you saying it a month ago, 3 months ago? Why? This is the problem of cancel culture, and it's not fixed yet. It's not fixed as long as people send themselves unjustified arrows, and the minute they meet face to face, suddenly everything is fine. Oh, it's all water under the bridge. No! I want you to go back and review what led you to make these allegations 3 months ago and say, I made an error here, and here's how I'm going to do better next time. Ked's Dad says, no one is confrontational with Nick J. Fuentes after what happened with Candace. Yeah, I think people have had their lesson. Now, by the way, apologies for the background. I'm still working on preparing the background. It's going to be a beautiful background, but for now, you're going to have to endure these blue displays. Now, look at what I got. Bro, this is going to be part of my decor, and this is beautiful. I mean, look at this. replica of a Minecraft torch. This is going to be part of my decor here. This is absolutely beautiful. A genuine Minecraft official replica that does the lighting in the pixelated way of the Minecraft game. Wow. I can't wait to have my full setup and be able to add it to my decor. It's going to be a beautiful addition and Minecraft reference. And Sadie Herwind was saying, they observed increased expression of the line 1 gene. Absolutely. The more we play with RNA, the more we're jungling with genetics, because RNA eventually gets converted. There are viruses. There are selfish genetic elements in our cells. They take the information of RNA sometimes and they dump it back into DNA. And yes, he says, with each passing day, TRP becomes as prophetic as 1984 as an early warning of the dystopian future that awaits. That may be the best aging book in the history of humanity. The Revolutionary Phenotype, absolutely. I wrote this book knowing that it would age well for a million years. Now, when you write books in that mindset, it leads to completely different product. But yeah, I designed this book so that every year of your life, up to a million years from now, people will be saying, oh shit, Jeff was more right than we would have known. Now, try to maintain this for a million years. I claim that the Revolutionary Phenotype will be more and more right for a million years. There is not even a book that survives 1,000 years or 2,000 years, Bible excepted, let's say. You know, everyone ends up being wrong at some point. Everyone ends up, you end up meeting the boundary of their limits of knowledge. Like you read these genius texts from the Greeks describing nature, describing sciences. You can see the genius, but you can also see where they got wrong. I claim that the Revolutionary Phenotype will be right and right and right. And you're going to see AI appear, being built. You're going to see the room full of servers churning data. They're going to get into the human genetics data. They're going to get into phenotypic predictability. They're going to take over humanity. They're going to change the genetic direction of humanity. And they will enslave us. Absolutely. That is happening. It is already happening, and they haven't even messed with genes yet. AI is capable of enslaving us already, you know, without even farming us explicitly, without even having become a trickster printer yet. Getzdead says, TRP is going to end up becoming a religion with JFG as the prophet. Prophet. Yeah, well, you know, it's okay. Maybe. But most likely we'll have people in denial for a long time still. So let's talk about the interview of Nick Fuentes. So Nick Fuentes, it's a very open-ended interview where Tucker has shown the benefit of his style, which is to leave the space to the other speaker. Tucker, of course, shows absolute weakness, basically declares loss of not only him, of his former position, which he was still holding 3 months ago. I can't believe that a public speaker can be holding a position publicly 3 months ago, in August approximately, where Tucker was saying he's a gay kid in his basement. You hold that position 3 months ago, and there's not even a formal apology. There's not even a reckoning of, oh, here's why I got it wrong and I should do better next time. Not even this. Just Tucker just folds in front of Nick Fuentes and just says, oh, I'm sorry, I thought you were a gay fed. And for all these fake reasonings that he had used to justify this, so absolute victory, not even a fight happened in this interview. Not only Tucker does this, he also carpets the whole conservative movement, and he says Dave Rubin doesn't matter. Ben Shapiro doesn't matter. Nick Fuentes matters. So this is a, and he says to Nick, you won, it would seem, because I'm not thinking about Dave Rubin every day. I'm not thinking about Ben Shapiro every day. I'm thinking about Nick Fuentes every day. And yes, you know, this is so important that this be acknowledged, that a kid from a basement has decided to push for ideas that became mainstream 10 years after he started and 10 years after we started, because in a way we've had influence on Nick Fuentes, on his development. What was the internet blood sport era of the internet? It was an era where minds like those of Nick Fuentes could express themselves and win and be groomed in a way. And I don't mean the groomed in the negative sense, but to be let to grow and happen. And this hadn't been possible before the internet blood sports era. And it became possible under our actions, under our supervision. And it's very moving to see that today there's an acknowledgement by someone coming from the mainstream. Okay, that thing, whatever happened then, won eventually. That is the first thing that is the first time I hear an official voice of the establishment say it that clearly. That, okay, whatever the force you guys were fighting against, that has failed. And yes, we have raised a new generation under new standards of thought that led them to be able to criticize what the past generations were absolutely unable to criticize, which is the lack of truth seeking in the public domain, the subversion of American politics, the overtake of the truth finding process of the media. And all of this has been defeated. And I think that this interview is history because there's the recognition, finally, that it was defeated. After they tried censoring us, after they tried copying us, after they tried gatekeeping us, very important moment that now there's no more gatekeeping. Now because there was gatekeeping up to 3 months ago on the side of Tucker. There was gatekeeping up to 3 months ago, not giving a voice to Nick Fuentes and treating him like a gay fed in his mom's basement. It is extremely welcomed, but at the same time, why? Why did Tucker need the interface of a real face-to-face conversation to realize these things? That is still worrying to me. That is still something that may not have been fixed in Tucker's world or in the mainstream in general. The sole conception that you can be evil to someone, lie about them, until you meet them face to face. Because I know that this demand of the mainstream, this, oh, I'm going to wait to be face to face to be honest to him, that is one of the mechanisms of cancel culture. And by avoiding people, not confronting truths, you end up playing out the injustices that were desired against them. You end up siding with cancel culture even if you don't want to. Reclaimed Man says, Tucker said sorry quite a few times. Yeah. Definitely the sorry was there, but it's almost like sorry I got caught. It's almost like sorry I said these things and I have nothing to say to back them. And an honorable man should be able to not just say sorry, but to say, let me think about what happened there. Why do we not call people gay feds without evidence? So as far as the interview goes, it started with the classic story of Nick Fuentes and Cassie Dillon and his canceling, his attacks as he was trying to gather jobs in the system, first through Right Side Broadcasting Network, then through some institute. Getting rejected by the system for taking anti-immigration positions. And there is so much agreement in this interview. Basically, Tucker agrees with everything Nick Fuentes is saying. So they have he has agreements that, oh yeah, the demographic change of America is worrying. But it's like, Tucker, then why call anyone who speaks for these issues a gay fed? Why? If you think like Nick that it's important, why silence this aspect of the conversation? If demographic change of America is a grave thing, and if Tucker Carlson accepts this, then we have to face questions about race, about genetics, about demographics, about loyalty, ethnic loyalty. We have to face all of these questions. So why would you continue to side with the canceling of these voices that are trying to bring these issues forward? Sour Notes says, it's obvious that for any political movement to be successful in America, it will have to include whites. Well, I hope that it's obvious. I wouldn't say that it's yet obvious for either the left or the right in America. I wouldn't say we totally won. What we did is we won on the side of convincing, mainstreaming the conversation and convincing the next generation. We won the battle of ideas, but we have not yet won the battle of political control, because still as of today, I don't see a pro-white Republican Party. Certainly the Democrat Party is basically anti-white. It's still the zeitgeist. We're still stuck in this at the elite level. We're still stuck in Trump not able to say white. And that's a big problem. That is a huge problem. That Trump is, oh, well, you know, I think that sometimes racism is inverted. You know what I mean? You know, sometimes there's lots of attacks against Christians. There's mostly a gigantic attack against white people in America. It's been going on for like 30 years. And I'm not convinced by the intensity of the fight against it yet. Cindy Tomato says, yep, Milo is a piece of work. And when he kept those messages, I would say he's not on our side. That is for sure. Oh, yeah, well, Milo does not matter anymore. That's the sad truth for him. Milo does not matter. He's going to become more and more of a disagreeable, trouble, shit stirrer. And that doesn't matter in modern America. He cannot have impact with this. Pontus says, battle of ideas was won back in Bloodsport's days. Then the censorship came. Absolutely. Which is why it's so grave when the gatekeepers start siding with censorship by their silence, by their unwillingness to engage, by their implications, by their suggestions. That's why Tucker Carlson is such a disappointment, especially as he took on a supposedly free individual project of media to continue in his career. He's not attached to interest. A shit stirrer. Yeah, one of my cousins when I was a teenager, he said, JF is a shit stirrer. I guess he was right. That's actually a Quebecois expression. We say brasseur de marde. And one day we were walking on the streets at night, hanging out in the village, and he said, "Jeff, you're a brasseur de marde. You're a shit stirrer." I don't know. Does shit stirrer exist as an expression in English? Because it does in Quebecois patois. Sour Note says, Trump said there's a definite anti-white feeling in America that can't be allowed. Yeah, but, you know, when we see... did we have to wait to the Irina murder to awaken to this? Like, this has been explicit, and we've been calling out since 2016. Did we have to wait 10 years to hear the word white? Why did we have to wait 10 years? Anyways, if you'd like to support the show, use the streamlabs.com/JFGtonight/tip link. My brain is not there tonight. Streamlabs are my favorite way to receive support for the show. You can have your super chat featured on screen by using the Streamlabs link. Lapidus says, is there a term that describes the opposite of fed jacketing? Well, I don't know. What would be the opposite? It would be claiming that someone is not a fed. He's not a fed. Don't listen to him. He's not a fed. Cindy Tomato says, yes, it does exist in English Canada. Shit stirrer and licks the bottom of the pot. Okay, so shit stirrer is a thing. So going forward, you know, this was an open-ended interview where Nick Fuentes gets to tell the story of his cancellation. But then it moves to an attempt by Tucker Carlson, and Nick Fuentes brings the question of Jews, Jewish interest in America, their relationship with the support of America, of Israel by America. So we enter those shifting sands in the interview at the maybe between the 40 minutes and the 60 minutes mark. And mostly at first, Tucker Carlson lets Fuentes frame his views in a positive light, and he doesn't get into it. Now, Tucker eventually attempts a slight pushback against Nick, but it is so weak that people were telling me, Jeff, are you sure Nick is going to be able to handle Fuentes? Are you sure Nick is going to be able to handle Tucker? And I was like, bro, you have no idea. You guys have no idea how the people like Tucker have not been passed through the crucible. People like Nick were passed through the crucible. Like, you have no idea the levels. Because if you hear only people censoring each other, not talking to each other, ignoring each other, when you're in the domain of monologue or friendly interview domain, you are in a world where people don't get challenged, they don't get tested, and they don't know how to handle true confrontation. Nick, of course, is from the world of true confrontation. And so Nick is at this level, Tucker is at this level. Tucker doesn't have experience facing controversial takes and facing takes that surprise him. And so, of course, Tucker was going to lose any confrontation, which is why this interview doesn't contain confrontation. Even for the claims that Tucker did up to 3 months ago, they don't appear in this interview, because Tucker can only say one thing is, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I thought you were this. I'm sorry I thought you were that. But the one pushback that Tucker attempts on Nick is to say, Nick... he starts with the, oh, well, but that doesn't mean all Jews are like this, or that doesn't mean everyone of a race is like this, because my Christian belief, blah, 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 individual judgment, etc. And first, it's a straw man, and Nick Fuentes just didn't have any problem calling it out, saying, well, that's not what I'm saying. No one really... Even in the spheres of the far right, no one really is saying all. So it's very weak for Tucker to try this pushback when we've been talking about it for 10 years. It's not all. And yet it's a problem. And yet, you know, the fact that people are black, that people are white, that people are Jewish, those facts influence and matter to the political fight. it matters. It's not that all Jews act the same. It's not that all whites act the same. It's just that it matters. It matters. There is a difference between a Republican that is Jewish and identifies himself as Jewish and a Republican that doesn't. It changes things. It impacts things, and you can't understand the world as long as you lock this reality out of your mind. So Tucker starts with the straw man. Nick handles it very well. He says, well, that's not what I'm saying. And that then Nick moves back to that ultimately identity matters. Identity matters. It may not matter 100% of the time. You will find some Jews that are critical of Israel, but it matters. It matters because it's not because there's one exception that there's no rule. That is the epistemological thing behind all this. It's not because there's an exception that there is no probability. It's not because you find a single individual of a race in high IQ category that the race doesn't on average have a lower or higher IQ than some other race. So the exception isn't relevant. And the exception isn't relevant when you consider that, yes, there are Jewish voices that are critical of Israel. This includes Dave Smith. But Nick Fuentes makes a beautiful point that identity matters. Now, Tucker tries to counter this back by coming back and saying, yeah, well, but I don't want... Basically, Tucker says, I don't want an America where there are gangs who only root for their gang. Because in his vision of what America should be, it's impossible to sustain a diverse country of 350 million people with different allegiances. But this is also a very weak point. And Nick handled it very well. But I would go further than what Nick said. I would say the problem is you cannot work with the assumption that your belief about the perfect ideology that America should have, that your belief in race blindness is going to be adhered to by the other side. So America, set up as a democracy, is inevitably a competition of the races, is inevitably a competition of the tribes. Now, you can think that in an ideal world, I would want all of these people not to care about race. You can think that. That's your Catholic delusion, basically. That's your Christian delusion. But as long as you can't force it on them, you're in a tribal war. You are in a tribal conflict where the other side will identify you as white. And so your race blindness is worth nothing, even if you have an ideology or an ideal that you'd like to pursue. You don't have the power to make the other people race blind. And therefore, you're stuck in a tribal war. That is the state of American politics, and it always will be. Because there's not going to be soon any sort of event that suddenly stabilizes the American demographics. America, therefore, is bound to always be a war of tribes. The only question is whether you want to see it. That's the only question. And the problem of Tucker's appeal to idealism is that it only resonates within whites. The problem of Tucker's idealism is that black people are not going to listen to him. Jews are not going to listen to him. So ultimately, all you can do with this kind of race-blind discourse is neutralize the white racial consciousness. You can make a unilateral disarmament in a tribal war. Mike Enders says individualism is a very white idea, ironically. Exactly. So I would have liked to see Nick perhaps go deeper on this, but I wouldn't attribute an error to Nick. Nick's response to this was saying, well, I disagree because ultimately identity matters to these people. And as long as it matters to these people, kind of the objection of Nick was implied rather than explicitly laid out. That would be my only critique of this. Otherwise, he performed extremely well. And then, so that was it. Those were the two only counters of Tucker. And I would say this interview actually highlights the big defect of Tucker. Tucker is an idealist. And there is a problem with idealism when it's not just a conception of the goal you want for society, because idealism of that sort is okay. If you say, this is where I'd like to be headed, sure. But when that goal leads you to ignore aspects of reality, and Tucker has been too much of an idealist twice in this interview. One on the race blindness question, where he lost to Nick on this. It's two very small pushback objections. They are not satisfying because you don't have control over 350 million people. You cannot clap your finger and decide that people stop caring about race. They will care about it. And if you convince all white people at best, you're going to be stuck with the tribal war that is unilateral in nature, where all of the other races are ganging up on whitey. Sour Note says, the point of my first comment is to say the last election showed whites are still essential to winning. If we can convince whites to center the well-being of their people, we can have victories. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. That, I agree. Sadi says, they have two names for you. White nationalists when they notice your in-group preference, and anti-Semite when you notice theirs. That is very well said. Very well said. Very interesting perspective indeed. So Tucker had lost on two very small objections that he attempted. They were weak. Nick Fuentes dismantled them properly. And then the question moved on to the woman question. That was an interesting part of the interview because, again, Tucker fails by idealism. You know, Tucker isn't aware of the new generation of women. He isn't aware of what young males are facing. And Nick is much more aware of it. And so the question went pretty deep. Actually, it was kind of a red pilling of Tucker Carlson by Nick. And that was beautiful to see. Because Tucker is like, oh, well, as long as you treat your wife okay and you keep a happy marriage and you keep her happy, everything's going to be fine. There's not going to be any conflict. It's like, bro, you don't know. You have no idea because you've not been facing the new generation of hoflation. And it was beautiful to see Nick basically explain what hoflation means to Tucker Carlson. Absolutely beautiful. So Nick's point on this, again, dominates, totally obliterates the idealistic view of Tucker. It's like, no, you don't understand. The modern woman, they're obese, they're obsessed with the idea that they are super high value, but they're not. They are inflated in their own self-perception. They want control. They're brainwashed by feminists. And even if you do find your little Christian traditionalist girlfriend, eventually she's going to be convinced by some other woman or by the media or by the pressure to betray you. That is an absolutely correct description of modern woman. I know because I've passed through hundreds of them. Yes, that's a big problem. They have too much power, they have too much delusions, and no matter how much you want to simp or cuck, there's never going to be enough. And there's a beautiful words that Nick uses there. He says I think he uses the word black hole, or it's an infinite drainage of your energy. And yes, males are guilty of simping too much. They talk about OnlyFans culture, about porn. Nick is right on point. You know, porn too available of a signal, of a fakery of sex, and therefore so much more interesting, because the normal sex and the condition of modern woman is just so uninteresting that it's like, well, then you got this option, which is porn, which is always available, always more intense, always more beautiful. How are you going to be interested in the regular woman in that context? So excellent speech on porn there. Excellent pushback on drugs. Nick, you know, talks about the extremization, the radicalization of the left, psychotic people, smoke drug. They get into psychedelics. It messes with their mind. It leads them to develop a parallel reality. Well seen. He kind of appeared as very internet critical, which I'm not as critical as Nick at the internet phenomenon. I believe that internet is a great place to live. I'm personally consider myself kind of an internet native, and I believe it's a healthy place. But of course. The problem is the same, you know, when in the 90s people were saying, oh, well, listening to Marilyn Manson leads you to do shootings, or playing violent video games leads you to do shootings. And it's always this, well, I don't think that there's much of a causal effect. And I think people of different eras will use various technologies to enact their radicalization. So I think that Nick is kind of beside the track here and misses that, well, there's always been psychotic people. In the 90s, they would listen to Marilyn Manson. In 2025, they hang out on Discord. It's not so easy to say, well, it's Discord. It's the internet parallel life that is a problem, because I think we can and should make the internet a good place where you can have positive lives and basically live your entire life, just like I did. Once I was out of academia, the internet and you guys on the regular chat became my life and my friends. And I believe this should be commended rather than say the internet is a problem. Sneed for Life says, Sticks recommended JFG. Let's go. New Guy Prime says, Sticks led me here. Well, that was a long time ago. That, yeah, we did have many good streams with Sticks. He was always an open guy coming for interviews on the public space. That was great. So then they end up the interview on the crux of the woman question, which is hoflation. And, you know, the kind of lack of understanding by Tucker of what modern young men are faced with, and the full understanding by Nick of what they are faced with, and saying they are faced with monsters. That's the problem. We are faced with fucking monsters who want control. And I know, because it just happened to me once again, you know, for the nth time. We are faced with intolerant feminist monsters that they are bigoted against male cognition. They don't want to give any sort of control. And they don't. So Tucker is like, well, if men were to take control of the woman, is like, well, how do you take control of a woman who runs away while pregnant and renames your child in secret while giving birth to him somewhere else, so you can't even have contact with him? How do you impose your authority on this? Because this is the state of modern females. This is what they do. They kidnap the child. They promise you a whole family, but they kidnap the child and they rename him. What are we supposed to do? Like, I want to be a Chad and have the attitude and work hard to satisfy my woman. I can do all this In fact, I'm at the top edge of providership. You know, I'm wealthy. I can support an entire woman's lifestyle. It's all a matter of how much Bitcoin I'm willing to spare in the process. You know? And I can tell you that this doesn't fix. It doesn't fix the modern psychotic female problem. And it's gonna have to be addressed at some point legally, because it's not, you can't put the fault on men all the time. And it's again, and beautiful commentary by Nick Fuentes, the entirety of modern politics is about deresponsabilizing women. And again, when you say it's the fault of males that they don't take control of their woman, I don't see what you can do with these monsters. I don't see what you can do with them. I don't know what you can do when she can run away and appropriate your children for 18 years. What are we supposed to do? Nick understands this. Tucker is still in idealism mode up to the end of the interview. So I'm fascinated by the interview because I think it's kind of a moving on moment. Boomers gonna boom. Boomers gonna boom. And this is what Nick Fuentes demonstrated tonight. And it's a beautiful and well done and clean demonstration. He didn't even say it explicitly. He didn't even attack Tucker explicitly. But what you take away from this interview is boomers are going to boom. They're going to keep being idealistic on all sorts of questions that they really haven't had to face difficulties with. They haven't had to face the difficulties of the modern world because they faced an easier world where the game was easier. Sneed4Life says she got inseminated on their false pretenses. JF was basically raped. Absolutely. When do we come to the idea that if I was to lie to a customer, I would be committing fraud? When do we come to the idea that lying to a husband is also fraud? Where's that? Because if laws against fraud must exist in the business domain, why wouldn't they exist in the private domain also? Why wouldn't we have the concept of a commitment, of a contract, of a marriage? As long as we don't apply all of these principles, the liars are winning. Men have no chance because females are expert at it. And we don't fix society. John Gorras says the Beatles are now considered wholesome, but there was Manson, the real one, not Marilyn. And how many boomers became acid casualties and are insufferable shit libs? Absolutely. Jesus Dad says it was good talk. Yes, Nick did great. Yeah, so that's all I have to say for my comments on this interview. Perfect performance by Nick Fuentes. Idealism, weakness of idealism as a... Because the problem of Tucker is it's not a problem to have these ideas. You can have these ideas as ideals, precisely. That's what the word ideals mean. But you shouldn't let them influence your view of the world because the world is as it is. This is what Tucker doesn't seem to understand. He lives in a theoretical universe of Christian ship. But the world is as it is. And the ways to fix it cannot be just voluntary compelment, because the people who are maintaining the world as it is, they want it that way. The feminists, they want it that way. The Jews, they want it that way. So absolute inefficiency and invalidity of boomer idealism that was demonstrated in this interview by Tucker. And you can't really be a good political thinker if you don't accept some degree of Machiavellism. And I believe this is probably what's missing in Tucker here. And I'm not a big fan of Machiavel. I think the whole cynical pursuit is kind of annoying and kind of cringe to me. It's just cringe to be talking about strategies that hard. But you need some of this. You know, if you have a moral project, and it boils down to an opposition I've had about Sam Harris too. You have this moral landscape ID. You have this destination that you want humanity to reach. If you don't have a path from the current world that actually exists to there, you're just deluded. You're just spouting farts of nothingness in the air, and it stinks. Doubting Thomas says, Jeff, we have seen in the past months the center-right open up to the right. I am worried, though, that they will revert to censorship as their excuse of combating bad ideas excuse disappears as they lose. That's always what we get. We always win. And then people get annoyed. And then they censor because they're like, we have to find a way how to win. It is always what's happening. But, you know, you cannot pursue idealism if you don't understand political path. And political pathing is what Machiavel says, what Machiavel does. Machiavellism basically is just the realization that if there is no path from the current world to what you want, then you might as well not want it. You know? And the same thing is true of Sam Harris and his moral landscape. Okay, you want human well-being. Can you get there without committing a genocide? Because that would be a problem. That would be a massive problem. Like, can you get there while not doing more harm than the one that you want to save humanity from? That's an important question. Because if to get to your perfect world of harmony, you have to destroy entire peoples and say, oh, sorry, you guys are psychopaths. Oh, sorry, you guys believe too hard in your God or your Islam, or you believe too much in this or that. Then, you know, the pursuit of well-being and harmony is meaningless, because to pursue harmony, you had to disharmonize so much, you had to kill hundreds of thousands of people. Cindy Tomato says, I never thought Charlie Manson was a big deal. The media made him out to be this whatever, just a low life is what he really was. I've never read in detail about Charles Manson. New Guy Prime says, read The Rebel / L'Homme Révolté by Camus. Okay, I have not read this specifically, but I did read The Myth of Sisyphus, in which the concept of the revolted man came. And yeah, Camus is great. It's great. It's still just philosophizing to me. And to me, it's not as good as hard science. But yeah, I do enjoy the concept of... So The Myth of Sisyphus by Camus says... he says there is an absurdity in the world. The absurdity is as follows. I'm born to be a truth seeker. I am curious. I like to know things. I want to understand the world. But the absurdity comes because the world is ununderstandable. And, you know, you can dig deep and you can understand a couple of layers of it. But at some point, you face something that is ununderstandable. Like you may have a conception of, just like Tucker, you may have ideals. You may think, well, my Christian beliefs are this and that, and I believe people should be judged individually. But then the world throws something at you that's ununderstandable in that lens. And one example would be, well, if you think everyone should be judged individually, then you are okay. You are okay with a murderer farmer. Like what if what if I have the genes for murder and I'm like intentionally just making thousands of babies just for the purpose of murdering your children? Now let's call this problem the murderer farmer problem. I'm a murderer farmer. I give birth to babies that I know will be murderers. And they eventually eliminate you. And they eliminate all of the Pacific people around them. And eventually we have a whole society filled with murderers that have been farmed into existence. That is a challenge to the idea we must always judge people individually. It's like, no. It's a modern creation of the state that, yes, as far as the application of state enforcement of due process and removal of due process, the state must treat people individually. That is okay. It doesn't mean that your understanding of the world will be accurate if you treat people individually. In fact, to the contrary, the idea of categories and the ideas of regrouping phenomena in groups is the it's a fundamental aspect of epistemology. If you can't do this, good luck. If you want to treat every single atom of the universe as a novel phenomena that shares nothing with the rest of the world, you're going to constantly be mind blown. Oh, I can't believe this. This one atom in the apple fell to the ground as if it was attracted by a mysterious force. Oh, and look at this other atom. It also fell to the ground as the apple was falling down. Now, as soon as you have a conception of apple and gravity, and oh yeah, gravity is going to apply to all parts of the apple at the same time, now you're entering the world of categories. And now you start to know things. That's how you know things. The fact that we are refusing the world of categories in the domain of human demographics is an obstacle to political paths. It's an obstacle to society being honest to itself about who can be let in, who cannot be, and why ultimately in this judgment we're gonna have to rely on collective measures. Sneed for Life says, would you inseminate the two hosts of the Real Housewives of Alberta? My philosophy generally is full insemination. I would like though to be allowed a drift away from my usual philosophy. And perhaps I would opt to inseminate a hole in the wall instead, with the idea of starting a new life form. If you can allow me this this small exception to my general rule, I have big hopes of creating a human G-proc hybrid by inseminating a hole in the wall. Sour Note says, the issue is we as whites naively project our instincts onto other people and groups, and as a result are exploited. That is the lesson I get from the Tucker Carlson interview. And he does it. He does his projecting. It's like no one is there to call out Tucker and say, well, you can't do this. So now what? Because if I tell you I want a world of purple ponies, that would be the ideal world. And then your answer should be, well, JF, purple ponies don't exist. So now what? Well, I want regular ponies. Well, JF, we can't have even regular ponies. Not everyone can have them. There's going to be a few people who have regular ponies, but you can't have a world full of regular ponies. And then you get into the reality discussion, the Machiavel discussion. How do we get to a formable, doable political project? Tucker is not even there. Tucker is not even there. So that is what I had to say tonight. We can quickly review some of the other news, although not much important has been happening other than this interview. That is the big moment of today. Not playing games. Trump responds to Putin testing invincible nuclear cruise missile. So little nuclear provocations here. Generally, this leads to nothing. I don't believe this is an important thing. You know, it's Trump bravado. Venezuela alleges it detained a CIA group, accuses U.S. of orchestrating a false flag attack. This has been going on again and again. Not surprised. Attacks on Venezuela. You know, this sucks because we were supposed to be America first under Trump. But America appears to be still meddling with the entire world. And I think Trump rebranded foreign interventions, but I don't think he stopped them. I don't think he stopped them. The MAHA movement to prove itself, the 2026 midterms. I'm personally not super excited about the MAHA movement, Make America Healthy Again. I appreciate that we're back to the discussion of medical liberty. That's a good start. You know, under it was bad. It was becoming bad under the freaking COVID freaks and the YouTube censorship and the Democrats. It's good that we're back to some degree of liberty, but the MAHA conclusions about autism have been all over the place. Vaccines, autism. In general, I like that there's questioning happening, but I don't think there's particularly good science happening. I think they're just picking out cherries that were left behind before. Of course, under the kind of previous administration, Biden style, and everyone who preceded Biden, what you had is a complete disregard and cancellation of any studies that would suggest vaccines are bad. Under Robert Kennedy Jr., what do you have? You have an highlighting of these studies. Here we have this study. But it's not particularly good science either way. I don't have much more knowledge about the validity of vaccines under the MAHA movement and this whole pursuit of bizarre things like blue methylene. And I don't know where it leads America. I don't know that America is healthier. Sneed for Life says, would you inseminate a lady's bottom if she was on her period? No, I absolutely object to anal sex. I've never engaged. I have made love to women across 5 continents. I have never engaged in anal sex, even when they demand it. Because to me, it's really a breach of the sense of life. The sense of life is you eat food, it goes out of the anus. You don't revert this. You don't inseminate from the reverse direction in this. No, that doesn't make sense to me. Oral sex is okay because the flow continues. Life goes on with oral sex. But with anal sex, life is fucked in the ass and it's totally reversed. I don't. And the anus is not designed to handle this. At best, you find a way with lubricant and all sorts of tricks that you have to deploy to not fully injure the anus. But like, this is the best. The best outcome of anal sex is you're not going to be injured. That's your best. that's your hope. You know, we've been talking about goals and idealism. The ideal anal sex is the one in which you don't get injured. But most likely you're going to get injured. There's going to be some suffering involved. Mid-Atlantic lawmakers unite in the push to stop climate cultists as power bill crisis worsens. So we have these companies exploiting their position of monopoly. And every winter, every beginning of winter, every fall, this happens again and again in America. There's a bunch of collectivities. There's a bunch of places in America that are just relying on a subset, on a kind of oligopoly or a monopoly for their energy. And people receive these crazy bills where it's unpayable. It's like, oh, we were charging $200 last month. This month we charge you $10,000. I think there has been too much cartels. Too much cartels have developed in the energy sector, often under the premise of the Democrats of climate change and, oh yeah, we're going to trust this one company, and now this one company owns your life. And that is, oh yeah, one other thing that I wanted to share tonight. Katy Perry and Justin Trudeau. Ugh, bro. This is a match made in hell. Just absolute hell. Can you imagine the conversation? Can you imagine this woman? First, we're talking about unreproductive sex, if I'm correct. What is the age of Katy Perry? Katy Perry age. Okay, she's 38, so maybe one baby. But, you know, she's 38. Can you imagine the conversation, the shit test of this fucking woman against Justin Trudeau? Can you imagine Justin Trudeau being the beta that she wants to be? And can you imagine she's like talking about body rights and my body, my choice, and Justin Trudeau is like, oh yes, yes, I think it's so important that women be given the choice to what they do with their own body. Oh yes, I think it's so great that we have a diverse world of immigration and that we are challenging whiteness. And yet, they are just two white people. Two white people who are trying to look good a lot. They're trying hard to look good. I feel that there's kind of a... There's the whole contradiction of the left right there, where they will profess beliefs in their liberal domains of politics and feminism and all. But ultimately, they act in a way that reinforces the system of heterosexuality. Same thing with Gavin Newsom, you know? You look at his family, could be the family of a white supremacist. I mean, a white supremacist would dream of having the family of Gavin Newsom. And yet, they are professing all of these beliefs against the system of heterosexuality that led to their existence in the first place. That's my thoughts for tonight. Thank you for being here. I had to do the show late tonight because I had a couple of routine medical appointments throughout the day. It went well. And so that's it. Much love to all. And tomorrow, I don't know if I'll have a regular show because I'll have a Courrier du Coeur French show and we have to do it late. So I may not do a regular show because it's probably going to fall around 7 p.m. Eastern time. But I'll see you all on Wednesday for those of you who don't speak French. Sadi says, JF confirmed to not be a shit disturber. No, I am a shit stirrer. I do not disturb the shit. I stare it.